The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. 9 days until Christmas. I have been so busy this week, every single night. My wife's out of town with my son. They've been in Disney World celebrating his 21st birthday, doing a little mom and son time as Will and I get to do things together more often than she does with him. So that's been great. But you know how it is. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a free man. Well, you know, you have board meetings, you have dinner commitments, you have a lot of stuff going on. So Thursday night, time that this show is going, will be the night that I'm going to have to cut loose and go do some things. Because tomorrow, Friday, if you're listening on Saturday, yesterday, full day at the office, and then our office Christmas party is Friday night, which is always a blast with all the folks at CFC. We have a great time. Then Saturday morning, early afternoon, I think, my mother's house for my mom's side at the Christmas. We'll have a great time. And then about 6 o'clock, I'll get in the car and head north for the Colts-Patriots game. Is it the Patriots we play Sunday? Yeah, Colts-Patriots. That's a big game. It doesn't start until like 8:30 at night. Really threw a wrench into my weekend plans because a Sunday afternoon game would have been a lot more accommodating to my schedule. So essentially, I have nothing bought. Zero. Zilch. We have a tree up at home. We have a few decorations outside, which, by the way, were all blown over this morning. And to walk through my yard when it's been raining and 60 degrees, when you have three dogs at home that use the that go outside to use the restroom, it's like dodging mines out there, if you know what I mean. So it is going to be a challenge for me to get this my place shaped up and in order for the Christmas season. But you know what? It's the way it always seems it is. Last year was such a simple year, right? Because a lot of us weren't getting together in these big, you know, big family gatherings. So it was very simple. Easy to navigate. But this year, man, we're back throttle down, which is fine with me. I'd much rather be open and getting after it than shut down, sheltering, and whatever else they called it. Let's have a great show today. How about that? Let's do a little by the numbers. But first, brought to you by Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind in 2022 that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. Kenny Bland Auctions. Not sure. I need to jump online and check KennyBlandAuctions.com. If they have, I'm sure they at least have one more auction this year, but maybe not. But check them out. They are your full service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online, again, at KennyBlandAuctions.com. And finally, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your electrician like they are mine. They specialize in generators and solar arrays. I would probably not make them my solar arrays today. But give them a call at 812-361-3604. Find them on Facebook. Give them a call, and they will take care of you. All right, where's my by the numbers? Here it is. 20 or more. Think about this. The S&P 500 is up about 27% year-to-date through last Friday. The S&P has been up 20% in 11 of the last 30 years. So I always say to folks, you know, when you're in the 90s, you got spoiled, right? If you've been around the market for the last several years, you've been spoiled. So if you're leading up to retirement, awesome, but be prepared because as we talk later in the show, it's the 10 years before and the 10 years after that mean the most when you get ready to get ready. Very late in the year again, the S&P 500 has set closing highs for the calendar year during December in 13 of the last 19 years. Let's talk about taxes because, of course, that is near and dear to my heart. To rank in the top 1% of all U.S. taxpayers in 2019, we're always 2 years behind with the numbers, you have to have earned $546,000. This group received 20% of all of the AGI in the country and paid 38% of all the federal tax. Now, if you were in the top 5% of all U.S. taxpayers, you needed to make $221,000. This group received 36% of all the AGI and paid 59% of all the federal income tax. The top 3% of U.S. taxpayers in 19 reported at least $291,000 of adjusted gross income. They paid 52% of all the federal tax, which means that 97% of the taxpayers who reported less than $291,000 of AGI paid the remaining 47% of federal tax. So, yeah, you may earn a lot, but you pay a lot. That's just the way the world goes. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, which prompted my book, 2025, The Final Drive, says that, hey, taxes are going to go down from 2018 through 2025. And they have, according to the IRS, not me. It was signed into law and became effective January 1 of 18. Let's see. Here we go. The top 1% of taxpayers paid 25.5% in 2019 versus 26.7%. That's the tax rate, the effective tax rate. Because remember, you don't pay tax at the highest rate on all of your money. You have some at 0, some at 10, some at 12, some at 22. You know the math. We've talked about it before. But the lower, the bottom 90% of taxpayers, their tax rate dropped from 8.38 to 7.36. So when the top drops, the bottom drops. And the bottom, when the top raises, the bottom raises. And that's been my story. As I've illustrated that many times in public talks, as I pull out the coveted 1973 H&R Block tax return from my mother, and with three boys at home at the time working at RCA, and how she paid 20% federal tax back when the top rate was 69%. One out of every 11 employees who were auto-enrolled in their company's 401k opted out. So that means only 9%. I've said this for years. As long as I'm here, I'm going to stay here. People won't drop out, but they usually don't drop in unless someone forces them to do it, like walk them to the computer and enroll them. Lastly, but not least, of course, Congress passed some legislation that averted a government shutdown for the billionth time in my career. We don't have to talk about it again until the 18th of February of 2022. By this date, Congress must agree on discretionary spending amounts needed to complete 12 appropriation bills that are required for fiscal year 2022. So far, we've got 39% of those kind of worked out, it sounds like. But it'll be a big boxing match again, as always. And, you know, we're going to raise the debt ceiling to $31 trillion. I mean, this math is going to catch up at some point, right? Well, we'll see. Hopefully, I'll be dead and gone by then. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, you know, next year, everyone likes to put out their forecast for next year. And we follow several people that we believe are usually pretty spot on. So next year, the groups out of First Trust out of Chicago, some others that we follow, are saying Dow probably 40,000. Wonder what that's going to take. We'll come back, talk about that. And also interest rates, volatility, what the Fed's doing, and more. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. You know, as we round out the year, hopefully no Christmas Eve surprises. The Dow should finish up nicely, the S&P nicely, and pretty well every other index that we follow up nicely. And you have benefited from that greatly, unless you've been sitting in fixed income bonds, right? Because when interest rates creep up, bond values drop. We've seen some of that this year, although I checked the 10-year Treasury when I walked out of the room today at the office, and it was at 1.47. So most are predicting the 10-year Treasury will linger right around 2% by the end of 2022, which makes absolutely zero sense, since the fact that the Fed has now said, listen, we are planning 3 rate hikes next year, and we're going to end bond purchases more quickly than we originally thought, which could be by, you know, sometime next year, maybe even early next year. That's what they're saying. Well, when they stop buying mortgage-backed securities and treasuries and anything else they've been buying, well, the biggest buyer in the market goes away. What happens? Rates go up. So I don't really know exactly where rates will be, but certainly if you are a person that wants to get a cheap mortgage, you better go now. Get it while you can, because when the big buyer gets out, I'm assuming the mortgage rates will go up, which is intentional to help cool the housing market down. So all of it's intentional. But the other thing is, are they going to start raising interest rates? Well, remember, when they raise rates, it's the overnight borrowing between banks. It's called the discount rate. So it's not really impactful that much to most people, but it will cause, hopefully, savings rates to go up. So instead of getting paid practically nothing on your savings account, you might get paid a little bit. But if they're paying you more, then that means they're going to have to loan out at a higher rate. And the amount of competition in the market is pretty fierce. So the banks will get squeezed on margins. And remember, federal banks can go out and borrow about 10 times deposits. And they can do that, they can loan 10 times deposits, or they can go out and buy securities to help leverage their money. So there's a lot of different ways banks can make money, but that's what they're saying. So the people at First Trust sent out a really cool outlook this week that said S&P at 5250, the Dow at 40,000. So you look at these numbers and think, wow, the Dow at 40,000. Well, what would that take? Well, I was looking at the Dow just as I started to do this, around 36,000. So if you go up 4,000 points and you're sitting at 36,000, that's a little more than 11% return for 2021. It was interesting because I went back and looked at some of the forecasts from these economists last year, and we were pretty well, they were predicting about the same thing, somewhere between 6 and 12. And I've made fun of these folks for 20 plus years here on the radio that they always say somewhere between 6 and 12, always. And then if it goes down 20, they're like, well, the reason it didn't go up 6 or 12 is because of this, 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 and that. Well, sure, right? I mean, that's kind of like a weatherman in a way. Well, yeah, it didn't actually have, torrential rains because this shifted there, this shifted there. But, things happen. So kind of looking at that with sort of a critical eye to say, listen, what is it that we need to be doing? Should we be taking money off the table? I was talking to someone who is about 45. They obviously have many, many years until they retire, 20-ish, let's call it. And he's like, should I be taking money off the table? No, don't do it, because that's the tale of two sisters. I love to tell this story. Two sisters hired approximately the same time at a local employer. Both jumped into a 401k plan at exactly the same time. I was there to help them make the elections and the selections for their investments back in 1998. They came in. One's a little older than the other one. But anyway, they go to work. One works in the office. One worked on the production floor. They both made about the same amount of money, put the same amount in as a percentage. And guess what? When they went to retire, because they came into my office about 3 years ago, one of them had $200,000 less than the other. I'm like, well, what happened? Well, what happened? The one that worked in the office had access to her computer, the most deadly device of all when it comes to looking at your investments, because what can you do quickly and easily? Make changes. So the water cooler talk got the best of her, and they were taking money out, they were putting it in, they were changing it around. Well, the person on the production floor, they just kept on working. Kept on going. Never changed a thing from that 1998, I swear to goodness, 1998 allocation that I made for her back then. And she had $200,000 more than her sister because she wasn't in there messing around. So if you're young and you plan to work for 10 plus more years, just keep doing what you're doing. And don't buy bonds. Why would you buy bonds at this point? Interest rates are going to go up. You're going to lose money. It's just, if you're really, really risk averse, you hate to see your account values go up and down, then maybe, yes, put some in the stable value fund. But no, for most people, you need to be pedal down, save, 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 buy, buy, buy. If it goes down, fine, you're buying it cheaper, right? If it goes up, it goes up, where everyone's happy. And I always say no one can take the amount of risk that they know they can take until they've taken too much, right? And then you're like, oh, God, I don't want that to ever happen again. I have witnessed over the years that risk tolerance is tied to your income. So if you make 50 grand a year and your account value, let's say you're 50 years old and you have, let's just say 400,000 bucks in there, and your account drops by $50,000, you're like my dogs out in the field. I mean, you guys are going, you guys are, you know what, in your pants at this point. that is too much risk, right? So if that is you, then maybe you should put a little safety in just so you can sleep better at night. But practically speaking, you should maintain a pretty aggressive model. Now, as you get approach retirement, what does that mean? I always say the 10 years before and 10 years after. Most people don't do that. They wait until about 5 years before, which is fine. That's when you start building your bridge to retirement. And that now is when you start recognizing that I can't afford to have a 2000, 2001, and 2002 when the market dropped 40% over 3 years. I can't do that. I can't have a 2008 happen to me. I can't do that. I can't have a 1970s market where the market literally did zero for over a decade. I need to be putting my money in places where I can count on it to be there when I need it the most, and that is in retirement. So where do we go from here? Well, I think the future is optimistic. You know, as people have gotten back to doing things, we saw some pretty big surprises in earnings. Some of the CEOs are always being a little cautious about their outlook. But for the most part, things are going pretty darn good. So if we can get into next year and keep this going, we should be just fine. Now, if you're sitting there a year or two away from retirement, don't take that information as permission to do something stupid. You want to do what you know is right, which is put the brakes on some of your moolah. So like I said, it's there when you need it the most. Social Security, they have redesigned your statement. Here is why you should be taking a hard look at it. I'm going to talk about that when we come back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Yeah, Social Security, they have redesigned our statements, and you should take a hard look at it. It's pretty darn cool. You know, it used to be they would send them out in the mail to everybody who was 25 years of age or older, and there's actually some legislation trying to be pushed through to get back to that, but the Social Security Administration claims that will cost about $90 million, and they believe that money could be better spent. So now, I believe it's age 60. If you're 60 or older, then you will begin getting your statement in the mail. Now, here's the thing. For years, the Social Security Administration has done kind of a crummy job of telling Americans how much they will likely get in benefits. But, like I said, I'm glad to say the agency just replaced its text-heavy, four-page Social Security statement with a redesigned, more useful, more visible, kind of a visual two-page version. I encourage you to go to the Social Security website, sign up, get your account established. It's interesting that although we have 176 million workers paying taxes into Social Security, only about 63 million have actually set up a Social Security account online. The statement's very streamlined. It contains clear messaging that makes it easy to find information at a quick glance. So I know they're hoping to simplify what can be a very complex program for the public. And complex is putting it kindly. There are over 2,728 rules in the Social Security Handbook and 11 different types of Social Security benefits that people are eligible for. I think according to Boston University and a guy named Lawrence, I can't even say his last name, Kotloff, something like, it doesn't matter. He's an economics professor at Boston University. He thinks that at least half of the people claiming Social Security are making mistakes. But now you look at this thing now, it's called a personalized monthly benefit retirement estimate. And kind of depending on age you start, the statement's previous statements kind of led a lot of people to believe, and in fact it's still the most popular claiming age, that you should take it at 62. Because it just said at 62, full retirement, and age 70. So there are three numbers, boom, boom, boom. But the new one shows the advantage of delaying Social Security if you can. It essentially shows in a graphical format an 8% larger benefit each year you wait by postponing claiming benefits until you're after your full retirement age, until 70. Put it another way, if you're 66 now and you wait till 70, that's 32% more money you'll get, plus inflation bumps along the way. But like I said, 62 is still the most popular age for people to take Social Security. I know why. It's because they say, oh, it's not going to be there. It's going to run out of money. It says it right on the statement that it's going to be the year 2030-something that this thing will be gone and only 77 cents of every dollar promised will be paid. Folks, that is not going to happen. Will it happen next year? Maybe, maybe not. But all they're going to do is say, okay, just like on Medicare, instead of capping your wages for Social Security, we're going to make it 200, 250 instead of the 118 or whatever the number is now that you cap out, meaning you stop paying into Social Security once you hit these certain levels. That will fix the problem. And keep in mind, the last time any meaningful change was done to Social Security, it didn't affect anyone who was even within 30 years of filing a benefit. It affected people that could barely vote or those that didn't vote at all. So now your Social Security statement has those visuals in there, and it's very clear and kind of makes your choices less just sort of from your gut, like looking at the numbers, and gives you some real numbers to follow. It will give you year by year of your Social Security earnings. It shows you how the top years make a difference. It also talks about survivor benefits. So if you are a spouse or a minor, how much you would receive in benefits if your partner or dad or whatever passed away. And then the cool thing, it gives you a bullet list of important things to know about your Social Security benefits. So this will explain, for instance, that after a married person dies, at the age they can begin claiming benefits and how that benefit would be affected if they remarried. So it's a great looking statement. It looks more friendly, you know, less words, bigger type, more charts and graphs. It gives you a real sense of the fact that, hey, this is what I should do. I shouldn't take it now. I should wait if I can. There's some information in there about Medicare as well, so that was good. And like I mentioned, the best way to get that is to head online to the Social Security Administration, sign up for my account, and be one of those 63 million people that have access to it, because it is an extremely important part of your retirement income for most people. It is inflation adjusted, which we saw a big one this year. It will not be taxed at the state level as of now, right? And only 85% of your benefit is subject to federal income tax as of now. Once again, a lot of little levers they could pull on people that wouldn't even know what's happening to them to increase revenues. And I'm going to say this one time because it's on my mind. I was talking with someone today who was really struggling with selling a piece of real estate and paying the tax. He wanted to do a 1031 tax-free exchange. So we talked about that. Okay, what if you do that and you move it into something else? Well, if you move it into something else and they eliminate the stepped-up cost basis at death on real estate and for investment purposes, was it worth it? Well, maybe you should just pull the Band-Aid off, pay the tax now, and be done with it. So we had a good discussion about that. And the reason I think that's likely to happen at some point, it's already been talked about. And like I said last week, when things have been talked about, been proposed, but been squashed, they always come back up. They're like the whack-a-mole. They're going to keep coming until you miss one of them, and boom, there it is. That's why it's so hard to tax the billionaires, right, that they've been trying to pin down. That's why you see Elon Musk already manipulating, you know, his holdings, because he wants to be able to get more liquid in case they come after him and start to, do the wealth tax or tax on unrealized gains and all that kind of stuff. That's so hard. So they're going to look around and say, you know what, let's just do the easy thing. Let's just hit David. Let's just hit Barry. Let's just hit Jerry. Let's just hit these guys, because you know what? They can't do anything about it, and they're not going to do anything about it. They're just going to take it. So that's why we've said, all right, listen, let's really have a strong consideration here about paying the tax now so you don't have to ever worry about it again. That's not just on your IRAs and 401ks. That can be on real estate. It could be on stocks that you've owned for 100 years. It could be on anything like that. Just things to think about. All right, let's take a quick break. Retiring with confidence. What in the heck does that mean? Well, it's interesting that Congress had no less than 21 or 22 proposals on how to get Americans retired with more confidence. And guess what? It circled around annuities, and it circled around the fact that, hey, people need to have a guaranteed source of income in retirement to have security. And like I said in 2015, when I did the talk at the Harvard Faculty Club on retirement readiness in America, I said it is important that we help people get ready. And mine was leaning on the employer side, saying, listen, we need to force people into these 401ks. Don't give them a choice. Make them opt out. We've now seen it that not only 9% of people opt out of a 401k once they're put in. Because if you don't do it, then guess what? And I'm all about personal responsibility. I'm all about doing what's right for yourself and your family and not being things being forced upon me. But I'm just telling you that most of Americans need to be grabbed by the hand and pulled over and signed up. Because if you don't do it, then we're going to have a bunch of broke people on our hands. Now, what does that mean to you and I? That means that we will have to pay for their food. We will have to pay for a place for them to live. We will have to pay for the rehab after the knee replacement that we also just paid for. So it's really important. It's a societal thing to get people retirement ready. Well, retiring with confidence is a case for understanding the value of a guaranteed lifetime income. And guess what the word is, folks? It's called an annuity. And I know for years, people like put the black X over that and said, oh, that word's bad because I've heard it's bad. And like Doug Hughes has eloquently said, it's not what it is, it's what it does. All right, we'll come back, talk about that and more. As always, it's Your Money with David Ace. Welcome back, everyone. 9 days to Christmas on this Thursday as we have Your Money with David Hayes being sent to you over the WGCL airways. And hopefully you're doing what I'm going to do tonight, which is shop, do something, right? I don't even know where to go. Is the mall even open? I haven't been to the mall in probably 3 years. I know Target's open because I see that on my American Express bill a lot. Target. So I don't know. We'll see. I know Macy's is closed. The perfume my wife likes is usually at Macy's. So I'll probably be sitting on the couch tonight online doing my shopping. But I really want to go to Dick's Sporting Goods because I want to get my dad. And I guess it doesn't matter. I don't really care. I love the professional fishing gear. The you see it at the place. I love the hats. I love the shoes. I love the shirts. And I love the shoes are great. Slip them on. They're tight. You can maneuver around the boat with them. So, Dad, you're going to get a pair of $70 preferred fishing gear shoes. And as long as they have an 8.5 at Dick's, you'll get them tonight. If they don't, we'll hope for the best that they'll be here by Christmas Eve when we celebrate at your house. All right. So, let's talk about retirement and retiring with confidence. Yes, it was 1978. Jimmy Carter signed into law that would change retirement forever, introducing what's now called the 401k. Now, here we are. We're just now seeing these monster numbers of people who have been covered by 401ks their entire working life, not pensions. An estimated 59 million people participate in plans, which allow not just you to put money in, but your employer to put money in as well. Of course, this was all done because, you know, companies were like, we can't afford these pensions any longer. People are living too long. We didn't expect your grandma to live until, you know, 86 and collect a fireman's pension for 25 years after your grandpa died. No one expected that. So the 401k came about, and here we are today, many, many years later, and people have all of their eggs in that one basket. Now, what are you going to do? Now, we talk about buckets, and we talk about this, and we talk about that, but it's interesting when Congress gets involved, lawmakers have pushed two major retirement efforts in the last year and a half through, and many of it is about people saving more money and having guaranteed income options in their 401ks. In other words, they think that some of this is so restrictive to say you saved all these years, and then you can only take out, and they'll give you a fixed amount of money every year for you name it, 20 years, 30 years, whatever. They're kind of, none of this is true, right? It's just stuff that's been proposed. But they're talking about how do you have a good, secure, confident retirement without, you know, things blowing it up. Well, it's basically like Social Security. That's the biggest annuity of all. Annuity is just a word that says it's going to give me some insurance, some confidence, some income, whatever it might be. But I'm going to focus on the income side. I'm not going to worry about the investments. I'm not going to worry about, you know, the death benefits or any of that. I'm just going to talk about the value of having a guaranteed lifetime income. Number one, people are happier. When you don't worry about what's happening in the market every day, the economy every day, COVID every day, whatever every day, people are just happier. And I witnessed that over my 27 years of doing this, the people that have large pensions with Social Security and that really don't rely on the market at all, they're happier than pigs in mud. But those that have all their money in the stock market and bonds and whatever, and they're trying to manage that mentally saying, oh my gosh, I'm only 64, and you're projecting me or my wife to live, one of us, to 92 or 95. You know, that's a long time. And that's why I say, when you have 30 or 40 years of retirement, that's a long time. A lot of good things can happen. A lot of great things can happen. But also a lot of bad things can happen. So why not say to yourself, okay, I am willing to sacrifice getting, you know, full access or full market returns or whatever, full liquidity, whatever it might be in your mind, to have this guaranteed income source. I think from my just non-scientific ways of looking at things, that if you can cover about 70% of your want, like how much you want per month, and it can come from a guaranteed source of income, Social Security, a pension. So yeah, teachers still have pensions. Some people still have pensions, not many. Or an annuity payment. Now that other 30%, which is typically your discretionary spending anyway, you know, you can kind of go with the flow with that. So what does that mean? Well, let's say I wanted $5,000 a month, and I have a couple of it, $2,000 coming from Social Security. Well, maybe it's another $1,500, $1,800, maybe even $2,000. That would put me at around 80% of my income being guaranteed. Well, the cool thing about an annuity is there's three aspects to it, and this is how they were able to pay you so much money. You have first the aspect of them just giving you your money back, right? If you said, okay, I'll give you $200,000 and I want $2,000 a month, for, you know, that means for the next 100 months, nearly eight and a half years, all they're doing is giving your money back. Then you have an interest component. So you are going to earn something, probably not a ton, but you might earn a 2 or 3%, who knows. So that goes into the equation. So now that I add that in, well, now my money was going to last about 12 years. Okay. And then the insurance company's like, okay, now it's time for us to start sending you our money. When I say our money, it's really other people's money, because they pool everyone together. And the people that die soon pay for those that live longer, and that's the secret sauce. That is the mortality credit. So I wrote about it in the book, but it's super, super simple. Three components: your money, the interest component, and the mortality credit. And the mortality credit can be the most important and powerful part of all of that. Because once again, when you get older and people start dying off, that's how they pay for you to keep going. I use the 90-year-old women example, right? If you haven't heard that before, please bear with me. I'm getting old. I'll repeat myself. But you have the four 90-year-old women that say, hey, let's invest together. Okay, what do you want to put it in? That shoebox over there. All right, ladies, I'll throw $100 in. Tape it up. Let's come back and see how it did next year. Well, sadly, one passed away. So now there's three left, and they look at that. Three women standing, $400. They go like, wow, that worked pretty good. Let's try it again. Let's invest together in this box. They keep the money in the box, tape it up, come back. Sadly, now at 92 years old, another of them had passed away. So they're looking in this box. Two of them are standing saying, wow, there's $400 in there. I only put $100 in. That means I made 100% on my money in the last 2 years. All right, I'm going to take it out now. That's a mortality credit. That's how they pay you so much. So I don't want to say numbers because then you'll feel bad about yourself or good about yourself. But let's say that I took $200,000 of my $600,000 of retirement assets and said, okay, I want to put that in there and get an extra, whatever, $1,800 a month. Well, that gives you so much more ability and freedom to invest the other money more aggressively. So because you have so much guaranteed income. That doesn't mean you want to necessarily, but you have the permission. So if the market goes down, fine. It doesn't really matter. If the market goes up, great. You know, you can ebb and flow with that more, with that discretionary spending. So that is a way to retire with confidence. They want you to do it at the legislative level. They've been trying to force stuff down our throats for a while, and something will probably come out of it in the next year or two. I'm just saying, it's whack-a-mole time, but you can do it yourself. And in the competitive market that we find ourselves in, insurance companies are salivating over getting your money, just like banks are, right? Just like banks want to loan you money, same thing. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I am going to talk about this is going to be fun. So I had the EdSlot Elite group meeting not long ago. It was fantastic. and we did a Q&A question answer recap, which I got it, and it was like 50-some pages long, and one of my buddies said, hey, have you looked at that Q&A? Man, there are some gems in there. And I thought, no, I haven't, but I'll print it off, and I'll look at it, and I'll share with my listeners, if there are a few that I thought were pretty cool, and I'm going to do that when we come back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. You know, I've started 50 pages long, the Q&A, question answer, recap from the Ed Slott Elite IRA Advisor Group workshop from October. And I was looking through here, questions about TSP, which is the federal plan. Oh, talking about 457 plans, talking about, oh gosh, spousal IRAs, inherited IRAs, talking about companies, if you own more than 5% of a company, do you have to take money out of your 401k if you're still working? Just on and on and on, more than you can even shake a finger at. It's almost like if I had permission, I would make this public, but it says here, for financial professional use only. Anyway, I can't do it, but I can sure share a few with you. Let me find some that I think are pretty relevant. So it's interesting because the Q&A sort of followed the workshop. So we're going to start with or end with what we started. I'm sorry, we're going to start with what we ended with, which is the final day, where we really dug into qualified charitable distributions. Now, here we sit on December whatever, and maybe you want to make a donation to a charity. Well, you can take money directly from your IRA, if you're over 70 and a half or older, and give it to a church, charity, whatever, and it will not be included in your income. So it's tax-free distribution. And for most people who are of that age, they're also worried about taking required minimum distributions. Well, once again, that was kicked out to age 72. So if you're age 72 or older and you're taking required minimum distributions, you better get it out soon, because if you don't take your RMD before 12/31, then there is a, yes, 50% penalty for not taking your RMD. So if you were supposed to take 10 grand out and you didn't, there's a $5,000 penalty. So you better get on it. Now, but if you gave it to a charity, that will go against your required distribution. So if I was going to take out 10 and I wanted to give my church 5, then only 5,000 of my 10,000 is taxable. Isn't that pretty cool? But here's the question that came up. And to be honest, I have never even addressed this. But can a qualified charitable distribution be made out of a beneficiary IRA if the beneficiary is 70 and a half? So, you know, and we have a lot of Benny IRAs, which means the account owner died, it went to the heir, and the heir made it an inherited IRA, and they've been taking distributions now over their life expectancy. Now, the new rule is if you pass away, you can still put it into a beneficiary IRA, but all the money has to be out within 10 years. So if the beneficiary, the person that has it now, is over 70 and a half, yes, they can make a qualified charitable distribution out of a Benny IRA. I've never even talked about that on the air, and it's not really been something that's come up very often, but that is an option for someone if they want to say, hey, you know what? My folks died. They left me this IRA. There's 100 grand in there, and I have 10 years to take it out, and I'm 70 and a half or older. You know what? I'm just going to give all of my charitable donations from the beneficiary IRA. You could do that, and it's all tax-free. You're going to have to take it anyway, right? Now, you and your spouse, if you're married, you both can do one. If you both have an IRA, give money from your own IRAs. Can you contribute to a 401k and do a QCD all in the same from an IRA? Yeah, there's no restrictions. So that happens a lot, right? People are still working. Like my dad's 74. He could, you know, defer money into a 401k if he'd like, and then give money from his IRA to the charity with no restrictions there whatsoever. Oh, what else? There's so many here, guys. I don't even know where to end or where to start, to be quite honest. I'm looking here. Here's one. Someone said that the backdoor Roth IRA can't be done in 2022. Did this pass, and is it law now? The answer is no. It is still proposed. What they're talking about there, folks, is that we can put money into a non deductible IRA and then convert it immediately to Roth. You know, no harm, no foul. Anyone can do a non-deductible IRA. Anyone can convert to a Roth. It's just kind of our way of skating around how to get money into a Roth if you either make too much or whatever. Now, that sounds super easy, and I would not do it on your own, because if you have other IRAs and you try to do a backdoor Roth, then you can kind of get caught, because the IRS looks at all of your IRAs as one IRA. You could have 10 IRAs and do a non-deductible contribution to one and a Roth conversion, but then they use a pro rata rule and it messes up everything. So be careful. A way around that is, if you're still working, you could roll your IRAs into your 401k and then continue to do backdoor Roths. But for now, it's just proposed. My prediction is, just like many things that have popped up, it will probably pass at some point. They're just trying to keep rich people from putting money away into Roths that will grow into these monster mega Roths, and they're all tax-free. That's the goal. Whether they get it done or not is really to be determined, as they say, in many, many things. All right. Gosh, there's so many Q&As. I'm going to go through this again and highlight 4, 5, 6, 7 of them and see, you know, if people at the office think it's worth repeating, I will. But yeah, when there's 50 pages of Q&A, and I literally got through about 10 pages and highlighted, you know, I highlighted maybe 7 of them or so. But I don't want to just sit here and bog everyone down with recappings of Q&As when you have Christmas shopping to do. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. This will be the last segment, believe it or not, and we'll wrap up the big show. Hey, it's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, big news. My son turned 21 last Thursday. If you were listening, you know that he and my wife have been in Disney all week long, so I've been batching it, and I have enjoyed it, quite honestly. I've been very busy. But here's something that's awesome. The Audible version of 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Win, will be out December 20th. So those of you that have been waiting to hear my voice, read my book, please be ready on December 20th to buy it and then listen to it. So I think you'll enjoy the heck out of it. We had our first royalty check. I mentioned that. We're giving it to Teacher's Warehouse. Come in. I don't remember how much it was, but it was pretty substantial. So remember, every time you buy a book online, if you want one signed, feel free to contact our office at cfci.us or find us over on South College. Just walk on in. We probably have some there. We'd be happy to sign and give you. Take your $10, put it in our envelope, and then we'll pick a new charity for first quarter of 2022. And hopefully, you know, as I get on the road and start spreading the word, spreading the gospel, right, about the higher tax rates coming and what you need to do now, we'll sell the heck out of them and give away a heck of a lot of money. Hey, enjoy your Christmas shopping tonight like I will, and I'll talk to you again next week, everyone. Goodbye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.